God, we come to you with worship. We come to you, God, with our heart, our affection towards you, God. We come and we open our hearts, our minds to you, God, and we say, do whatever you please in us, because, God, we love you. We desire to know you, to be like you, to serve you, to walk in your ways. So, God, may you speak to us, each one, God. God, I pray that I would just completely get out of the way and let you do whatever it is you want to do today. That, God, we would leave today knowing that we've met with you, the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, may you be with us. May you guide and lead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about knowing the Father. Now, as Bill told you, Angela and my other two girls are going to get here tomorrow, which I'm excited about. And I've been the last 3 weeks as kind of a single dad with two teenage girls. And I'll tell you, there's been lots of crying and sobbing and emotional roller coasters. And honestly, the girls just laugh at me. I don't understand. They're just. It's been really cruel. I'm looking forward to their mom getting here. I'm just kidding. They're awesome kids. But so I want to talk to you today about knowing the Father. And so we're going to start right in with some scripture. We're going to look at 1 John 3 and then 1 John 4. And we're going to hop into the Old Testament. But 1 John 3, well, I forgot my clicker thing. Can you help me back there? All right. It says 1 John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We are His children. 1 John 4 says, we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's challenging right there. We love because he first loved us. The way to know that if you're living in love is the absence of fear in your life. The absence of fear. It's the absence of the fear of man. What that means is that we don't let what other people think about us or say to us affect or influence how we serve God in this world. Most of us, I've never met a human being that doesn't struggle with that. That doesn't think, okay, what is so-and-so going to think or say to me? We all have to deal with the fear of man, and we have to let God's love drive it out from us, so that we are more concerned about what he would say, about how he feels, what he thinks, not in a judgmental way, because there is no fear of judgment in love. We just read it. So we have to get rid of the fear of man. We have to get rid of the fear of the future. Some of you, even right here, right now today, aren't sure what tomorrow looks like because you're facing some really serious things. And we have to trust the Lord that he's going to take care of us at all times. That he knows what he's doing with our lives. We have to trust him. We have to let that his love take away that fear in our lives. Fear of difficult circumstances or just difficulty in life, or simply God asking you to do something that you know is going to make you uncomfortable. Has God ever asked you to do something that made you uncomfortable? You're not alone. Because that's what he does. And he does it because he loves us and he desires to use us in greater ways. And in making us uncomfortable, of course, we're stretched and God brings us face to face with the fear that we might have within us. And he desires to get rid of it. So the way that you know if you're living in love is the absence of fear in your life, because there's no fear of punishment within the law or the love of God. And so if you don't fear punishment from God, then it's an indicator that you're living in his love. Now, Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon 8, says this, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. That's beautiful scripture right there. Many waters cannot quench love. This is God's love towards us that it's describing. Let me ask you this. If you had to show someone that you loved them, if you had to show them and you couldn't touch them, so you couldn't hug them or, you couldn't physically touch them. If you had to show someone you love them and you couldn't use the words, I love you, how would you show them that you love them? Come on, I'm looking for it. Come on, what would you do? You'd do something for them, right? If you're my wife, Angela, you buy her chocolate, right? Nowadays, of course, if you're young and you have a smartphone, you can send emojis, right? Right? The one with the two hearts for eyeballs, that's like my favorite to send to Angela. You think about it, hearts for eyeballs is a little bit creepy, but right? Communicates. So what else do you do to tell people that you love them or show that you love them without using the words? What could you do? Sorry? Okay, you can't touch them. Give them things, right? Some people like, right? What are other words you can say? I care about you. I appreciate you. I value you more than anything else in this world. Things like that, right? We often don't recognize that there are other ways that we can say it, or maybe we don't even realize the things that we're saying in talking about it. God describes his love for us in all different kinds of ways. And he desires to show us that he loves us in all different kinds of ways. The fact is this, is that we all desire and need love. Each and every one of us in this world, in this room, we all desire and need love. We were created, we were designed to love and to be loved. It's how God has made us, because he is love. We just read it. God is love. We're made in his image, in his likeness. We are designed and created to love and to be loved. Now, for many people in this world, they get damaged, they get wounded and hurt, disappointed, betrayed, and they feel the need to protect themselves. And so sometimes you'll run into people that have great difficulty loving or being loved. Sometimes you'll meet people that it's really easy for them to give, to love somebody else, but it's really difficult for them to receive it. Those are indicators, quite honestly, of a hardness of heart. Because that's all hardness is. Hardness is a protection mechanism that we put in place based upon hurts and wounds in our life, where we say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to let anybody in there. And what happens is, because God so desperately, well, God is never desperate. God just wants in there. Because God knows that you need to be healed and set free from it. And so God wants in there. And what will happen is you'll find yourself in a room just like this and feel very lonely. You can walk in and people were nice to you and hopefully nice to you, right? And welcoming, because we should all do that to one another, right? As the family of God, even if it's somebody you don't like. And you can come in and people are kind, you know, and you can enjoy what's happening and feel very alone. If that's you, understand that God actually wants into that place in your life. He desires into that place in your heart, because it's his love that will fix it. It's his love that'll heal it. And you might feel a little bit afraid to let him in, and understand that that fear is the indicator that you're not living in the love that he has for you. The heart of the Father is all about relationships, and relationships are about connecting. Somewhere deep within the human, within each human soul, is the need and the desire to be loved. The Father can meet that need. Some people, as I said, some people struggle a lifetime to try and find it and to fulfill it. But God desires to meet you. He is all about relationships. St. Augustine, who was a father of the early church, he wrote this about the love of God, and I absolutely love this. He says, if the written word of the Bible could be changed into a single word and become one single voice, this voice, more powerful than the roaring of the seas, would cry out, the Father loves you. The Father loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And the thing is, the love of the Father changes us. But don't be mistaken, because His love changes us. His goal for loving us isn't to change us. He is love. His love simply does change us. It's just that good. It's just that pure that it changes us. Changing us isn't the reason that he loves us. It's simply the byproduct of it. We are made in his image. We're made in his likeness. So we're like him. He is love. We were created and designed to be loved and to love. So we're made in his image, his likeness. And when we encounter him, there is something within us that reacts and responds to him. It's deep calling to deep. It's God moving us from glory to glory, where we encounter him and there's something within us that says, I want to be like you, my creator. The one whose image that I'm molded in. And so his love changes us. But understand, like the goal of it, it's not like he has an agenda to change you. He loves you just the way that you are. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more, and nothing you can do to make him love you less. God loves you, and yet his love changes us. This is meant to set us free from the mindset that tells us, well, the Father just has so much more to do in me. Of course he does, because he does in all of us. But his agenda, his goal isn't just to change you. He just loves you. The Father loves you. It's a byproduct of his love. So it's a great byproduct, right? It's wonderful that he does this for us. The presence of God changes us at the heart level. And as our heart changes, so then does our thinking and our behavior. It follows suit. Religion, on the other hand, wants to impose rules upon us. Religion only wants to change our behavior. It's not interested in changing our heart. Religion will make you conform, but the love of God will transform. The Father's love is so pure, it's so unbiased, that it simply changes us. Hear it this morning. The Father loves you. He wants you to know him. And the thing is, you know, I asked you how would you tell someone or show someone that you love them without using the words or, you know, being able to touch them. The thing is this, love does look like something. Love has to look like something in this world. And of course, for God displayed his love for us through Christ, through his death and resurrection. But love looks like something in this world. You can't say that you love people and then not do something about it. That should challenge our faith. You can't say that you love people in this world and then not do something with it. It looks like something. It has to be demonstrated. See, God's love doesn't just float around out in the air and people run into it. Right? Like it's not that ridiculous. It's not accidental. In fact, God's love is incredibly intentional towards us. Towards all of humanity, the Father loves you and he wants you to know him. His love is uncaused and unconditional. There's nothing you can do to cause him to love you. He just does because he is love. He doesn't start loving you when you've fulfilled all of his expectations, as we understand. Lots of times human relationships work that way. He doesn't start when you've fulfilled his expectations or when you've performed in a way that pleases him. The Father's love cannot be earned or reduced. It's steady and unchangeable. It cannot be quenched or drowned. The Father loves you no matter what you've done. Hear that this morning. No matter what you've done, where you've been, the Father loves you. He loves the person sitting beside you this morning. He loves the person you made sure you didn't sit beside this morning. It's true. He loves them just as much as he loves you. He loves the person that is the furthest possible way away from him as he does the one that's the closest. He loves humanity. He loves us. He loves the person that hates you. He loves the person that you think maybe doesn't deserve to be loved. He loves them. And He loves you. I want you to see the heart of the Father this morning. He loves you so much. He's for you. He's not against you. He desires for you to know Him. His love cannot be extinguished. A flood can't put out the flame of His love for you. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered. His love is always calling you home. Doesn't matter how far, if it's one step or 1,000. His love calls you home. He loves you and He has created you to love. Here's the thing about the Father. He's not threatened. He's not threatened by or anxious about our sinful or unloving choices. He's not threatened by them. He doesn't get anxious about them. He doesn't sit in heaven and wring His hands and say, "Oh, boy, I hope they have a better day today." He doesn't do that. He isn't threatened by it. Now, that doesn't mean He doesn't care about the choices we make. Sure He does. Absolutely, of course. That's why it's great that one of the byproducts of His love is that He changes us. But His love isn't threatened by our choices, good or bad. He doesn't become anxious. Here's the thing. You don't have any control over His love for you. You can't control His love for you. He loves you no matter what. That's hard sometimes on humanity because we know what we're really like on the inside, right? We know how vile and evil we can be, the thoughts that exist in our hearts and minds, the hate that we sometimes have. We think, "God, how can You really love me?" But You don't control His love. And honestly, because we're made in His image and His likeness, hear this morning about you. No one controls your love but you. How often in life do we withhold our love towards other people because we're disappointed in them, or they've hurt us or wounded us? They're not performing to the standard to which we think they should? We see that, honestly, we see it all the time in faith. No one controls your love but you. You choose if you love people. Because it starts with a choice, and then it has to look like something. You don't control the Father's love, and no one controls yours. You are in charge of you. That's why one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Because you're in charge of you. God desires you to love. You see, and because the reason I'm talking about this is because it's easy to say, "Well, but I can't love that person. Do you know what they've done to me?" And God says, "You know what? Do you know what humanity's done to me? And I still love you. Do you know what humanity has done to each other? And I still love them." And He says, "You know, and nobody controls my love, and no one controls yours." It's a tough lesson for us in life. It can be a tough lesson. That no one controls our love but us. No one controls the Father's love but Him. And He says, "I love you." To live this out in everyday reality, we have to come to know and believe the love that the Father has for us. In the culture that these verses were written in, that we read from 1 John and Song of Songs, and in the Hebrew culture, when they would talk about knowing something, it wasn't just like an intellectual pursuit. It wasn't. It was different than our education system would operate today, meaning that you don't just sit in a classroom and they tell you this is true. This is the way that it is, and you just have to go shake your head and say, "Okay, that's the way it is." In the Hebrew culture, they would teach you, they would tell you what it is, and then they would show it to you so that you would experience it. And so when they talk about knowing something, to them, it isn't just here, it's also here. It's like, "I know it. I know it to be true." The Father desires you to know Him, to not just know about His love, to read it in Scripture and go, "Oh yeah, He loves me." He actually desires you to encounter and to experience His love. Tomorrow, when I pick up Angela, I'm going to give her a really big hug because I love her. And in that moment, right, we'll feel love. Doesn't mean that we always feel love, because that's how relationships work, right? We have to have both. We have to have the knowledge and the understanding that he loves us, and then he desires to meet us and encounter us so that we know and experience the love. I know Angela loves me, and she knows that I love her. Here's the thing around that. You know, people will look into Scripture, and they only want to point out a God that's all about rules, right, and laws, and punishing people when they break the rules. And they have this thought that God is very angry and very upset with humanity. And I understand God did have wrath towards sin, which was poured out upon Christ. But people get themselves caught in wanting to follow religion or rules, right, to conform, because they feel safe there. It helps them know if they're in or they're out, right, if they're good or they're bad. And I often think of it, I equate it to marriage in this, and that I think, you know, obviously one of the rules of marriage is faithfulness, right? You're maritally faithful to one another. Now, when I leave the house in the morning, Angela doesn't say to me, "Now, Blair, don't forget, don't have an affair today." She doesn't say that because she doesn't need to. She doesn't have to tell me the rules because I love her. This is how it's meant to transform us. For God writes the law on our heart when we encounter him and we meet him for who he is. He desires to set us free. And in setting us free, we just love because he is love. So we need to know who he is and what he's like and who he says we are, because it changes us as we encounter him. So I've got for you this morning a few things about who he says he is, and then we're going to look at a few things that he says about us and who we are, okay? So this is what the Father, some of the things, it isn't all of them because we don't have that much time, but here are some of the things that the Father wants you to know about him. He is accessible and approachable at all times. You always have his attention. You always have access to him because of Christ. He's accessible on a personal level to meet you right where you are. There is always an open door to go in and see him. Not only can you approach him, but understand that he can always approach you. It's not like God wanders off somewhere and is not paying attention to you. He can approach you at any point in time. That's why we need to learn to hear his voice and to encounter him. Pastor Daniel spoke on that maybe about a month ago, right? He wants you to know that he is faithful every single time. He is always faithful. So when he says he's love, he is. He wants every part of your life to interact with him, because he's not interested in insensitive or unresponsive, obsolete religion. He wants to be in your life, every part of it. He wants you to know that you're not alone. He will never leave you. He never abandons you. When you sense that you're alone, honestly, when you sense that you're alone, you can treat people quite differently, often very poorly. But God desires for you to know that he is always there with you. He wants you to know that he is not trying to control you. In fact, just the opposite. He's trying to set you free, that you can walk in love. He wants you to know that he cares about you, and he cares about every detail of your life. There isn't anything about your life that he isn't aware of. I understand sometimes it can feel like that. Like, God, do you even know about what's going on in my day today? But you need to know, he knows every detail of your life. He desires you to know that, to encounter his love. He cares about you. He wants every good thing for you. He wants you to know that he will speak to you through his word. It isn't just an ancient book from an old culture, but it actually is living and active. It will speak to you. Lots of times in my day, I'll say to him, God, I need a word from you. I need a word from you. And then I'll open the word and I'll read until I feel he speaks to me. His word is living and active. You can talk to him. You can tell him how you feel without fear of reprisal or repercussion or condemnation. He desires to know what you're thinking. If you read through the Psalms, honestly, you can find, I think, every human emotion within the Psalms. There's cries of desperation and feelings of being left all alone and that, you know, God, have you just abandoned me to my enemies? And like, those are real emotions from real people. It's okay to talk to God about these things. The Father says, come on, I want to hear them. So, because sometimes, you see, we have this thought, this feeling that we have to have everything right before we approach him, or that we have to approach him in a way that is different than we would talk to maybe an earthly father. Right? God, I know that you know best. Have you ever said, who said that to the earthly dad ever? Not that dads, the earthly dads don't know best, but you don't usually start a conversation with your dad that way, right? Say, Dad, I need to talk to you. I need to know what you say about this. You can talk to him about how you really feel, what you're really thinking. He wants you to know that as far as he's concerned, your sin is as far as from the east as it is from the west. Your sin is no longer on you. It's on Christ. So when he looks at you, he's just happy. He's joyful over you. He loves you. He wants you to know that in him you have an inheritance that is eternal, that he hasn't left you or abandoned you. When the Father tells you who he is, it's because he wants you to know him, not to just know about him. So I would ask you this morning, do you know him? Do you know him, or do you just know about him? And if you just know about him, just begin to make your way towards him. Say, Father, I actually want to know you in every way. I want you to be a part of every part of my life. I want to know you in the way that I know you here, God. Not just in my mind, not just in my intellect, but I want to know you. I want to sense your love and be aware of it. Because the temptation when we only know about him is to operate in religion. Not into freedom. We need to know who the Father is, but the Father then turns and he says, but I want you to know who you are in light of who I am, because we're made in his image, right? And so here's some things that the Father would say about you, about who you are. He would say, you're a child of God. He would say, you are my child. He would say, you're his friend. You're his friend. Years ago, as a young man, I started a practice in my life where I just began to talk to Jesus as though he was right there with me all the time. Luckily, I haven't ended up in any kind of institute. I just start to talk to him like he was right there. And I did it specifically to develop in my life the thought that he's my friend, that he's with me all the time, and he's my friend. Because of who the Father is, you need to know that you are not condemned by God. He does not condemn you. You are free from judgment because of his love, because of Christ. You are an heir with Christ. The Father says that you have wisdom. The Father says that you are righteousness. You are the righteousness of Christ. The Father says that you are redeemed and restored, and that you are a new creation. He says you're free. He says that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. The Father calls you chosen. The Father calls you loved. He calls you blameless. The Father says that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Right now, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. No matter what you're going through in this world, your spirit is with Christ in heavenly places. You have immediate access to the Father. There's nothing in the way between you and Him. He says that you are complete in Christ. We're always going to face this tension within Scripture of God saying you're complete in Christ and us knowing that we're not complete and that His love changes us. There's always a tension there. But He says you're complete in Christ. He says you're chosen and dearly loved, that you are an overcomer, you are a citizen of heaven, and He says that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. What kind of father says those things about their child? Isn't it one who just loves you without limits? A father that's looking to bless and not curse? You know, it's a curse to have to work for love. Some of you maybe had a parent that was incredibly demanding over your life. And you didn't really get approval until you met the demand that they have, whether it was academic or sports or just behavior. Honestly, it's a curse to have to work for love. It isn't how God works. It's not how the Father works. He doesn't desire for us to live under cursing, but under blessing. Once you know His love, you'll just want to work for Him because He loves you. You won't work for Him because you're trying to earn anything from Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And so you just work. You just do things for Him because you love Him. Not because you're hoping that He someday says, good job. He will say that someday, right? We know He'll say it when we get to the other side. But here, He just says, I love you, no matter who you are and what you're doing. So, he would want us to know and to understand to not work for love because it's a burden to us. And He would challenge us in our relationships with one another if we're making each other work for love or if we just love as He does. I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you to know the Father, to know who you are in light of who He is, because it's His love that changes us. And the thing is when we encounter His love, we then take it and we just spill it onto other people, right? We just walk in it and we love other people the way He does. When you encounter Him, you actually become an encounter for somebody else. So He wants you to encounter His love. So in just a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to pray. I'm going to sing a worship song in a moment, and I need a drink. We're going to spend a moment in worship, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God a few questions. And He's going to talk to you. Okay? And I'll tell you now what the questions are, because some of you are like, oh my gosh. The first thing we're going to say, we're just going to say, Father, do you really love me? If you have difficulty hearing the voice of God, I find it really easy, and the best thing to start with just simple questions that are kind of yes or no, and easy to figure out. So we're going to ask Him. I'll lead the song. Yeah, and then I'll have you guys up in a minute. And so we're going to ask Him, Father, do you really love me? And then the second question we're going to ask is, Father, are you proud of me? Some of you need to know if He's proud of you. Sometimes, I don't know if it speaks more to men or women. I just don't know. Sometimes if your dad says to you, I'm proud of you, it's as good as saying that he loves you, right? And then finally, for some of you that maybe, you know, it's just kind of settled in you and you're like, yeah, I know he loves me. I know he does and I'm good with that. We're going to ask the Father this. We're going to say, Father, the day I was born, what were you thinking about me? Because it's a beautiful thing to hear what he says to you about what he thought of you when you came into this world. Okay, so just that's a heads up. That's what we're going to pray about in just a moment. But before we do that, we're going to spend a moment in worship. All right. I don't know what I did with my pick. Okay. Why don't you stand and